And let's move now from outer space to out of water. Yesterday, wildlife officials rescued a great white shark that was stranded on Chatham's South Beach on Cape Cod. The 7-foot juvenile male had swum in close to the beach, and as the tide receded, he got stuck.
It's the latest instance of sharks moving uncomfortably close to shore. Since last month, 8 people have been bitten by sharks along the North Carolina coast, including 2 in one day. There have been other attacks up and down the eastern seaboard, although nationally, the number of shark attacks is only slightly above average for this time of year.
And this year in Massachusetts, there have been none. And in fact, shark attacks are exceedingly rare, even as the population of the great whites are rebounding. Massachusetts wildlife officials know this thanks to a series of shark-detecting buoys off the coast of Cape Cod, which can track nearby sharks that they've tagged. To talk about shark sightings and trackings, we caught up with Greg Skomel a little while ago aboard the ferry from Woods Hole to Martha's Vineyard. Greg is program manager and senior biologist for the state's Division of Marine Fisheries, and he led yesterday's rescue of that beached great white shark.
The shark inadvertently swam into an area where it got very shallow very quickly with the outgoing tide and ended up on the beach. Now, we got the report about 2 o'clock in the afternoon from the harbor master that this was the situation, and we mobilized and luckily were in the area at the time where we then responded to this and showed up on scene within about 20 minutes.
And how do you get the shark back out to sea?
It's a good question. Fortunately, we had a very small boat, a Boston Whaler 13-footer, with and we had some lines on us. We were able to actually secure the shark to the side of the vessel, building a bridle with the rope and walk it into deeper water.
I see. Now, an eyewitness said the shark was trying to reach a seagull to snack on, but you don't place a lot of credence in that theory.
Well, you know, we don't have any evidence that white sharks eat seagulls. You know, that was one eyewitness's interpretation. But, you know, certainly I'm a skeptic when it comes to that particular, that whether that was an actual feeding event or an attempt to. But certainly the shark was in shallow water, probably under some level of stress, and, you know, ended up on the beach, unfortunately.
Greg, I want to ask you just generally about the number of shark sightings and even attacks elsewhere in the U.S. We mentioned some of those numbers in the introduction of this segment. But what about in Massachusetts waters? What are we seeing this year? Are the numbers of shark sightings up, down? Are they normal? What are you seeing?
Well, they're about on par with what we saw last year, but it's early yet. It's early in the season. Last year, the number of white sharks, and we're talking about white sharks in particular, peaked in late August and September. And so we're slowly ramping up. We've identified about half a dozen white sharks through our survey efforts over the last month. And I anticipate that number will increase on par with what occurred in 2014.
Right. Now, why is this happening? Because last June, a study by NOAA found that great white sharks are surging off the New England coast and all up and down the eastern United States coast, despite a decades-long decline in shark populations.
Well, when we're talking about the white shark in particular, we're talking about a species that has been protected to some degree on the east coast of the U.S. since the late 90s. And so what we're seeing, and I certainly wouldn't characterize it as a surge, but I'd see it as an increase in the white shark population, actually a rebounding of the white shark population to historical levels. I don't think we're anywhere near there yet, but it's a good sign that the species is responding to conservation. Certainly an optimistic outlook for the animal.
Well, that's good news. But talk to me a little bit about these buoys that we mentioned, shark tracking buoys. They're off the coast of Plymouth. They've been on the Cape for years. How do they work?
The technology has been around for a couple of decades. And basically the way they work is we place in a very high frequency transmitter on the shark in the form of a tag. We're basically working off the coast of Chatham and Orleans on the elbow of Cape Cod. And we use a spotter plane and we locate these sharks and in essence sneak up on them and place the tag at the base of their dorsal fin while they're free swimming. So we don't capture or handle the sharks in any way other than to place the tag at the base of the dorsal. And we're able to look at the movements of these animals over broad and fine spatial scales and get a sense of their migratory patterns and their residency around the state of Massachusetts.
I see. Now, will these buoys, will they help beachgoers avoid sharks?
Well, at this stage in the study, no. Only to the extent that we'll be collecting data about these animals that will allow us to get a sense of where they spend their time. But the data don't come in real time. At some point in the near future, we're hoping to interface these receivers with real-time transmission so that somebody managing a beach would know whether or not one of our tagged sharks was in close proximity to that beach.
But let me ask you about it from a beachgoer's point of view. Last year, officials in Scituate, for example, had to close down town beaches twice because of shark sightings. Do you see more of that happening this summer?
I think the fact that more and more of these sharks are turning up at public beaches, we are likely to see beach closures as people take notice of these animals. In some cases, you know, there's a risk. In other cases, they're benign animals that are being sighted and misidentified as dangerous sharks. But indeed, I see the trend increasing as white sharks return to our waters to feed on the seals.
Right. Now, of course, movies like Jaws give sharks a pretty bad rap. But how dangerous is it really for beachgoers this time of year? What's your best advice?
When we think about the risk associated with the presence of sharks, so all we really have to rely on are statistics. And we really only have about 4 documented shark attacks in Massachusetts going back literally hundreds of years. So if we were to take that as an indication of risk or probability of attack, we really can see that it is quite low.
All right. So low risk. But I mean, are there some obvious precautions that folks should take, even to minimize an already minimal risk?
I mean, certainly the shark that's most dangerous in Massachusetts waters is the white shark, and realize that particular species is here to feed on seals. So my advice, of course, is don't swim in close proximity to large numbers of seals or seal colonies. You know, don't swim alone too far from shore. Don't swim at periods of dawn and dusk when we think sharks are feeding heaviest. That kind of basic common sense could be useful.
All right. Greg, one final question. We started this segment talking about 8 people bitten by sharks along the North Carolina coast. Is that just a fluke, or is there something particular that's going on in that part of the country?
Well, based on the fact that we had such a high number of attacks over a very short period of time in a very small area, you know, there's something happening there. I just don't think any scientist knows exactly what it is. You know, some kind of factors, whether they be environmental or driven by human causes, are lining up where these sharks are in close proximity to humans and that these attacks are occurring. But certainly something I see as relatively abnormal, and be interesting to see if it continues or happens again in other years.
All right. And here in Massachusetts, we'll take heart in that statistic, minimal risk here. Greg Skomel, senior biologist with the state's Division of Marine Fisheries, talking about all things shark. Thank you, Greg.
My pleasure, Anthony. Thank you.
Radio Boston is a production of WBUR, Boston's NPR news station.
Our show is produced by Amory Sievertson, Emma Jean Weinstein, Kathleen McNerney, and Jamie Bologna. We had help this week from Allison Bruzek.
Tim Skog is our technical director, and we also had help from Doug Wilson. Our executive producer is Hitesh Hathi. I'm Doug Tribou.
And I'm Anthony Brooks. Join us again tomorrow for more Radio Boston.